may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It says in verse 32 about Jesus, Gabriel the angel said, he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And in verse 35, after Mary had asked the question, how is it possible for she, as a young woman, to become pregnant when she had never been with a man? You know, earlier it said that when Gabriel first approached her and said, Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you, it says she was greatly troubled by the saying, not knowing what it meant. We've talked about some about that, about what that meant for her. She probably projected the fact that God's favor often brings testing, assault from the enemy. Whenever the enemy feels threatened, when he sees God's favor on a person's life, or he sees they're about to break through into a place of appropriating, experiencing greater favor, the enemy will often throw the kitchen sink at you because he's frightened, and therefore he attacks. Anytime you're attacked, anytime the earth comes under severe attack, it's because the enemy's frightened. Even in this time of pandemic, people have gotten so hung up on Christians. I rarely hear Christians talk about the fact this is further obvious evidence that God's about to do something extraordinary on the earth. We're at the precipice of that. So every Christian, instead of being woe is me and being frightened and being so disoriented by this like the world is, should be on their tiptoes praising God, not for the pandemic, but that the enemy always shows his hand. He's one of the evidences that God's about to do something extraordinary. Think of the fact that when Jesus was born as a child and the Holy Innocents, which we celebrate on the 29th, all those children who were the ones who were killed, because God was doing something new. There was the ultimate expression of revival. The Messiah was here. So anytime Jesus is about to do something great, the enemy always does something horrible. But it should be encouraging to us. They go, oh my gosh. We kind of had a pretty good idea that God was doing something new, about to do something big. We had a lot of words, but this is the ultimate proof. So if you find yourself in a place where you feel overwhelmed, I think when Mary heard that, and then as he further explained to her what was going on, whatever she might have projected when she was greatly troubled by the saying, and once he expressed to her what the favor was going to look like, that she was going to give birth to the Messiah, she, the virgin, was going to give birth to Messiah, that's pretty overwhelming. Okay, how am I going to deal with this? Because he's not explaining anything to her yet. He just said it's going to happen. And so often when things happen or we feel overwhelmed, and we feel overwhelmed by things because we feel like, how am I going to deal with this? How am I going to get through this? How am I going to handle this? And so she asked the question, okay, how? What am I supposed to do? That seems like an impossible thing. You ever been in an impossible thing? You ever been in a situation where you felt totally overwhelmed? And it was circumstances that had nothing to do with what you wanted to see happen. She was just wanting to get married to the person she had been contracted to marry since she was a child. So she asked the question, how? Now remember, she doesn't say, how are you going to do this? She just said, how? So I think there was a lot of, how am I going to do this? And so he answers the question. The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. That's an amazing statement. He said, well, I'm going to do it. And finally, her final response, which we'll see next week more, she said, well, basically, you said it, so therefore you do it. Because he said he'd do it. So she said, okay, you said it, you do it. Be it done to me according to your word. I love the expression, the Most High. It's one of the most used expressions in all the scripture to define who God is, used most of the time in the Old Testament. It's all through the Psalms. And when speaking of monarchs, or those who reign or in positions of authority, the phrase Most High, you would often hear that among pagan cultures when the king of Persia would introduce himself as, or he'd be introduced as the King of Kings, the Most High, as if he's the most powerful person in all the earth. But the truth is, I brought my phone, so I wrote some scriptures down here, so I wasn't depending on my memory. This is Psalm 97. It's just one of the verses that speaks of this. Verse 9, "For thou art the Lord Most High over all the earth, and thou art exalted far above all gods." There's all kinds of amazing places in Scripture that talk about that. The word in Hebrew, Most High, its root word is the Hebrew word Allah, which the Muslims took to call their God, that he's ascended, he's high, the highest. That's what the enemy said in Isaiah 14:14, that he would be above the Most High. But the truth is, there's nothing higher than God. No one has more rank. No demon has more rank. No situation has more rank. Every name that is named is under him. Amen? Every name, whether it's the name of a sickness or a disease or a situation or a person or some circumstance, nothing is above him. Everything that threatens to be over your head is already under his feet. And so he said, how is this going to happen? You feel overwhelmed? Nothing is higher, more powerful, bigger than him. This is a real familiar passage of Scripture. Psalm 91. "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty." What did he say to Mary? "The power of the Most High will overshadow you. You will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, for it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you can seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night or of the arrows that fly by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you." We should never live feeling threatened or intimidated by anything the enemy does or says. Christians can choose to live like the world and feel overwhelmed, or live resting in the fact that they're overshadowed by the power of the Most High. "For you have made the Lord your refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place." Here's the thing. He said, "He shall be called the Son of the Most High." You and I are in union with Christ. And therefore we abide continually under the shadow of the Most High, under the shadow of the Almighty. That's a fact. You live under the shadow of the Most High. We can either see that, open our eyes to see that, and rest in that fact, and be intimidating to the enemy, or live as the world lives, feeling overwhelmed all the time and being intimidated by the enemy. You don't have to ask the question, well, how do I get under the shadow, power of the shadow of the Most High? You are there in Christ. So how's this going to work out? He's going to do it. The power of the Most High overshadows you already. Just start celebrating that. If he gives you specific details in terms of what things you're to do and respond, do them. But do them in peace, knowing that you're living, abiding under the shadow of the Most High. Nothing that has happened to you, that you're facing, is higher than the Most High. And you live under the shadow, the power. This is what he said, the power of the Most High will overshadow you. That word power is the Greek word ability. This is what it means, supernatural ability, because he's talking about God. You live under the power, the ability. You're overshadowed by the power, the ability of the Most High. Your weaknesses don't determine and dictate your situation or your ability. Your weaknesses are overshadowed by the power of the Most High. How difficult your situation is and circumstances doesn't determine its outcome. You live under the shadow. You're overshadowed. That situation is overshadowed by the power of the Most High, and that's where you live. What's the difference between that being true and it being true to your experience? It's simple faith. That's the link between that which is true about you and what is true to you experientially. So there are a lot of times things happen to us as Christians where we're tempted to feel overshadowed, overwhelmed. The truth is you're overshadowed by the power of the Most High. And you can't relate anything about you or anything going on around you to how difficult it is or how hard it is. Everything has to be related to the truth that you abide under the shadow of the power of the Most High. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.